Welcome to the Brothers Murph Get Smart, a weekly podcast in which two brothers, namely myself, Michael E. Murphy,
and myself, Nick Murphy,
attempt to become more knowledgeable about this world of ours and all the things in it. And joined with us this week, as always, is our co-host,
Casey Brown.
And beaming in from, I was going to say Los Angeles, but it's actually D.C. We're in Los Angeles. Who's in D.C.?
Hey, it's me. It's Dylan White.
That's who it is.
Yeah!
Yeah, and Dylan's going to be leading our podcast today. Now, we don't have much information.
Nope.
It wouldn't matter anyway, because I don't think we're going to know what this topic is. I've been told...
It's about roosters.
The history of roosters. We should not do a podcast on that. I'm down for any topic
Yeah, I want to hear about roosters.
What I've been told is that normally Dylan likes to reside somewhere in the medieval period, and to switch it up, he's gone older. We're going Greek mythology this week. And from there, Dylan, take it away. What are we even getting into right now?
Yeah, so I think that one thing that you have to understand is that Greek roosters are very different than medieval roosters.
And podcast done.
Exactly.
Yeah, good one. That was really good.
Okay, thank you. No, we are going to be talking about what is, in my opinion, the absolute worst family in mythology. And it comes from Greek mythology. Now, you might think that there are a lot of bad families in Greek mythology.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Stiff competition there.
You would be right. I mean, you got like you got Hercules like killing his wife and children. You got Oedipus,
Medea killing her children.
A lot of children killing, isn't there?
She's
in
just
Greek
a proud
mythology.
Black woman.
Definitely. I wonder, like, how are there adults to have legends if all the kids in every legend get killed?
Yeah,
right.
Seriously though.
Well, that's how does anyone make it? And not to give anything away, but there is a little bit of children killing in this story as well.
Yes!
Oh, no.
It doesn't even qualify as a potential candidate for worst family until children are murdered.
Exactly.
That's just bare minimum qualifications right there.
Yeah. So,
who is this family? Who are these people?
Well, these are people that are descended from a man named Tantalus. And Tantalus, well, let me just jump right into it right now.
Go for it.
Tantalus was a king in, I believe, ancient Anatolia. He is actually, like all bad families, the son of Zeus.
Zeus is the worst.
Zeus is the worst.
And more and more I hear about Greek mythology, like Zeus sucks.
He's always there at the beginning, and he always takes off and just like lets chaos.
The Hercules, cuddly, concerned, rip torn voiced version of Zeus is not the Zeus that is true to anything.
Nope.
Right.
I love that movie, but Lord, Zeus is just such a big perv.
So what do you do now?
Well, yeah, the huge. I mean, Zeus fathered this person, Tantalus. But I gotta say, guys, this family is so fucked up that Zeus actually seems to come off pretty well in this story.
Oh, no.
Finally. Nice.
So, basically, Tantalus is this king. He's the son of Zeus and everything. And he has this very, what we would call a privileged life. In the sense that, like, the gods every single evening will, like, come down and have dinner with Tantalus, because he's apparently a very good entertainer.
Tight. Like, and, he could juggle well?
Well, like, he just, like, put on, like, good feasts and everything like that. They really liked his cooking and everything. And one day, Tantalus decided to change it up a little bit. And what he decided to do was take his son Pelops, kill Pelops and cook him for the gods.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yep. That checks out.
We want some Pelops flank steak.
Exactly.
It's like, so does Zeus.
Just
picture him like
why?
Doing whatever he wants.
What
yeah.
were his motivations?
This would please them?
Yeah, well, he thought that it would please them, but he's also like kind of just trying to play a prank on the gods, like trying to get them to like laugh at them when
hilarious.
They eat like human flesh and stuff. And also just, like, laugh at Zeus for, like, eating his grandson, basically. Tantalus
oh
has
God.
A weird sense of
humor. Damn, Zeus.
Yeah.
He's just like, Zeus, you're a fool, man. You just ate your grandson. But I assume that he was just eating as well. And just, like, Pantaloons. Tantalus is just that shit, then?
Yeah.
Or is he just, like, compensating? Did this work? Did this impress them?
No, I'm
so confused.
This did not impress them at all. And only one of the gods actually took a bite out of Pelops. The other ones recognized immediately that this was human flesh, and Zeus is not amused by this at all.
Who's this dumb god who took a bite?
Well, don't judge her too harshly. This is Demeter who took a bite, and she's distracted because her daughter was just abducted by Hades.
Poor Demeter. Yeah. She's such a sweetheart.
She's just hungry.
Exactly. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like Dionysus or some idiot like that.
Even though he's so drunk, Dionysus also is kind of, he recognizes it.
To be fair, it's because they had a centerpiece at the table and it was Pelops's head with like an apple in it. So even Dionysus is like, dang, not going to eat that.
Yep.
I'll have the apple though. Don't mind me. Okay. So they're not impressed. Yeah. Does he get, like, do they blast him with lightning for this? Like, what do they do to, or they just, what's like, slap like on the hand and be like, that's a bad move.
So, yeah. Tantalus is doomed to spend his eternity in the underworld, where he is basically in a pool of water and with, like, an olive tree hanging over him. And every time he reaches up to grab an olive, it kind of pulls back, and every single time he turns down to drink the water, it recedes into the ground. So he's forever starving and thirsty and never can eat. And that is, by the way, where we get the word tantalizing from.
I was going to ask that when you first said his name. Yeah. I was like, is that where tantalizing comes from? It's so tantalizing.
That's awesome. Oh, wow.
So
that is a just punishment.
I think so, right? Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. So I think that, like, you would think that the family story just kind of ends there, because Tantalus is in the underworld, and he killed his son Pelops and cooked him for the gods, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But Zeus brings Pelops back to life.
Okay. Yeah. Like, in pieces?
And then eats him again!
Yeah. Okay, no. So he, like, reanimates him, or whatever, they, you know, boops him back into existence.
Yeah, I think this is the one time the gods are actually doing a good thing. They recognize the fact that Pelops is a completely innocent person in this situation.
How old was he?
Pelops?
When they did this, when his dad killed him.
You know, I'm not sure, but let's say 10.
Maybe old enough to feed multiple people. Exactly. No meat on those mounts.
Yeah. I mean, he's old enough to feed gods, so... Mm-hmm. What's that? Like, there's like 12 Olympians or something like that. So split 12 ways or so. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Each one gets to eat 1 year of their life.
Right.
Okay. So he brings him back, and Pelops, does he know what happened? And like.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would assume that Pelops is probably quite traumatized by this entire, you know, dad cooking you and stuff. And then he gets a new ivory shoulder to replace his Eaten shoulder. That's the piece that Demeter picked off of him. So he gets this new ivory shoulder and stuff.
Badass upgrade.
And Pelops then kind of wants to get the fuck away from this kingdom, and he moves to Greece. And I think not ununderstandable right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, you guys are cool and all, except for the whole part where you're not, so I'm gonna peace out.
Yeah, yeah. Except for the whole part where you try to eat me and everything, so done with that. So... Pelops goes to, I believe it's Olympia, and he doesn't really have too much, but there's basically this chariot race that's held every year or so, to win the hand of Hippodamia, the princess of Olympia.
Cool.
So he's thinking, okay, I can get involved in this chariot race and stuff and, like, win the hand of the princess. But there's kind of a catch to that, and that's that her father, whose name is King Omnius, well, her father's been prophesied to be killed by his son-in-law. So he doesn't really want his daughter marrying everyone.
Sure.
And because of that, if you lose the chariot race, the father kills you.
So,
what?
Okay.
Yeah.
So wait, how many people are in this chariot race? Is it just one-on-one every time?
Just one.
Is it like him?
Yeah, it's just one-on-one every time.
So if the king wins, you die. If you beat the king, you get his daughter, and he's going to, per the prophecy, get killed by this son-in-law?
Yeah. If you get the daughter, you'll probably end up killing the king, even if you
That's just how it goes.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so he enters in this race knowing that it's life or death on the line right there.
Knowing that it's life or death, but Pelops does something kind of sneaky. So he becomes, like, really good friends with the king's charioteer, whose name is Myrtilus. And he says, look, Myrtilus, if you want to, like, undo kind of the wheels of the chariot and stuff like that, you can sleep with the princess before me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And
wow, I love how much autonomy Hippodamia has in all this.
Really, though.
Yeah,
Hippodamia's like, oh, what was that real quick? It's like, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, babe.
By the way, we should also frame this story. None of the women in the story have any sort of autonomy in this at all.
Classic Greek myths. Jeez.
Yeah.
With one exception, but we'll get
there. Okay. Ooh, yeah. Okay. So okay. Continue.
So Myrtilus says, like, okay, cool, I want to sleep with Hippodamia. And so he kind of undoes the, loosens kind of the wheels of the chariot. And then on the day of the chariot race, Pelops is racing against the king. And then the king's chariot gets undone. The king falls over, and Pelops' chariot tramples over him, killing him.
Oh my god.
Hence,
insta-prophecy.
Dude,
can we just say how often in Greek myth that, in Greek plays and everything, that freaking men are just totally controlled by, they would like forego friendships, forego jobs, not prophecy, by their dicks. Like,
yep.
Just, you know, oh, I can sleep with a princess. Yeah,
my
I've had
dick
this
is
job
the prophet.
For, you know, my family's had this job for 45 years, but yeah, sure, for one go with the princess, yes, whatever you say, let's murder somebody.
True.
Let's lead to someone's eventual murder. And that is a common thing in Greek mythology plays. And oh my god, it's crazy.
You would think that the king's personal charioteer is also like a pretty good job that he might not want to, you know,
right.
give up
yeah.
to some
and
random
I think you
stranger.
Drive a good point. It's probably a family job that's been passed down. So like, you would think he's kind of loyal, not being like
his dad is like, "What did you do?"
Dad, there was sex involved. There was sex. Okay, yeah, that's fine. I understand. That's cool.
They're just so like blind. Whatever. That's fine.
Casey's mad. This was written a long time ago.
Man,
here's the thing. If you want to talk about Greek, at least there's less estrada, which the women use the men's stupidity over their peepees to like get them to stop waging wars against each other. So, I mean, even the writers knew at the time, they're like, we kind of rely on this like penis thing a lot. Leading all decisions ever. Anyway, okay, anyway. So he tramples. So the king's dead? Just done.
Deadzo.
Yep. King's
what is
dead.
His name? Onimus?
His name is in the dirt, is what his name
okay.
is.
Okay, irrelevant.
Nomacy, yeah, I'm probably screwing up the pronunciation of this king's name.
Onimus?
Yeah.
Harold.
Okay.
Yeah. King Harold. Okay, so King Harold is dead. Harold
yeah,
is dead.
King Harold is dead. He just got trampled. And so Pelops wins the princess. And yeah, celebrating the marriage and everything. And like they're so happy celebrating the marriage. And then Myrtilus comes in and he's like, hey, bro, like we had this agreement and everything. And then Pelops is basically like, oh, yeah, well, I made that agreement before I had the princess. But now I have the princess and I don't really want to give up the princess. And so I'm going to drown you.
Oh my god.
Dude, Pelops is as crazy as his dad.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
Like, apple don't fall very far from the tree.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, especially when that apple's been, like, killed and, like, replanted and regrown.
The apple starts with Zeus, which is, like, the worst apple.
Yeah, that's so, true. Like,
that's some low-hanging fruit right there.
You got a shitty tree and shitty apples falling all sorts of near it.
So, why, man, the thing that cracks me up is, like, there's no... Like, nothing's done by half measures here. It's just like,
no.
I am here for Prima Nocta. And he's just like, nah,
dead.
You're going to drown now. And the guy can't just be like, I'll just go back to my stable then. No, he's like, nah, you're going to die. But what the fuck? Okay, so he drowns this guy.
Yeah, he drowns this guy. And Myrtilus's final breath is he curses Pelops and Pelops's children and their children for all of time.
And he's able to do this how? Does that's
he's
just
a wizard
a power hand. When you get unjustly killed?
Everyone in the
I think it's just a general curse that, you know, like I think anyone can curse anyone.
Okay.
A curse on both your houses
yeah.
kind
yeah.
of
yeah.
deal.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
but again, no half measures. Not just like, hey, I hope you have a bad life. It's like, I hope you have a bad life. And everybody you met has a bad life. I hope the guy that delivers the newspaper to you has a bad life. It's just like, dude, super curse is going on.
Yep. Yep. So, time passes, and Pelops and Hippodamia have these two kids. Well, they have multiple kids, but only two of the kids are men, and yeah, we're going to focus on the men here.
We'll assume that the girls were playing with dolls while all the...
I'm assuming the story does not focus on the women.
It does not, at all.
This is not Dylan deciding to focus on
I'm
the
not
women.
Mad at Dylan, no, I'm talking mad for at the Greece.
Viewers, just in case anyone... Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, he's just like, yeah, we're not...
Casey's going to show up to Athens and be like, who wrote this book? I need to talk to somebody about this. He's like, going back a ways.
I did.
So...
Okay, so we have the two boys.
Yeah, so Pelops and Hippodamia have two sons named Atreus and Thyestes. And basically, these two sons from a very early day are kind of raised to understand that they're going to become the king of Mycenae. And so basically what happens is Atreus prays to Artemis to make him king of Mycenae. And Artemis provides him with a golden lamb that he can sacrifice to her. And Atreus looks at the lamb and says, this lamb's too beautiful to sacrifice. And he decides to give it as a wedding gift to his wife, Arope.
Well, nice.
It is nice, but also, I mean, it's not nice to Artemis because she wants the sacrifice. So Artemis then curses Atreus and his descendants.
And there's one thing we've learned about Greek gods. They're very forgiving,
yes.
Understanding, and rational.
Yeah.
Anyway, Thyestes, his brother, goes to Atreus and says, look, man, we got to figure out who's going to become king of Mycenae. Let's just come up with an idea where maybe whoever finds this golden lamb will become the king of Mycenae. And Atreus thinks this is a great idea because I just gave my wife this golden lamb, so I just need to, like, yeah.
Why did the second brother think of a golden lamb? Was it like a common thing that people were like, ooh, someone knew or this golden lamb that Artemis kept?
Interesting.
Like, why did he just randomly think of that?
Well, that's a good question, and a question that Atreus probably should have asked, but he didn't. He asks his wife where the golden lamb is, and she says, oh, I don't know where the golden lamb is. And that's when Thyestes comes in with the golden lamb, because he's been sleeping with Atreus' wife.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Atreus, you a fool. So, you got cuckolded, son.
Yep.
And I got your golden lamb.
Yeah. And Thyestes basically becomes king, and he banishes Atreus' sons to... They go off to Sparta. We'll get back to them, but right now, those sons go off to Sparta. And Thyestes kind of makes the kingdom his. He has, like, his sons basically propped up, and they're, like, walking, strutting their way all about, like, Mycenae and everything. And this goes on for a while before Atreus basically says, like, okay, you know what, Thyestes, we've had, like, kind of, you know, falling out and stuff like that. Why don't you come back to my place, bring your sons with you, we'll have, like, a feast and everything, and, like, we'll make it good.
Yeah.
And so Thyestes comes by, and he's, like, eating dinner with Atreus, and they're laughing and everything like that. And then Thyestes starts wondering, you know, when are my sons going to get here and stuff?
Jeez.
And that's when Atreus says, oh, you're halfway through eating them.
Oh my god!
Family. you wouldn't think that the first thing Pelops would say to his kids, like, hey, whatever you do, don't eat other people.
Right.
He's like, I've been down that road, guys. Sons, it's not worth it.
Because once you get a taste of man flesh, there's no going back. You can't, nothing will satisfy.
You see my ivory shoulder?
Do you see this bad boy?
Oh my god.
Jeez, okay. Okay, I'm not even getting to the, like, why would you show up to this dinner party? If anything we've learned from fairy tales, if after you've done some shady shit, someone's like, hey, come on down to this feast real quick. Don't do that. Clearly it's going to go poorly. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so Atreus then makes Thyestes eat the rest of his children, of his sons. Like, he's not done with the feast. He forces him to eat the rest of them.
You clear your plate.
Yeah. And then...
Like, what's that? Is that cumin on there? That's pretty good. All right. So he makes him finish his kids.
Yeah. And then he says, you get the hell out of my kingdom. This is where I'm going to be king. And Thyestes runs out and curses Atreus and all of his sons forever and ever and ever.
So Atreus has been cursed twice now and all of his sons.
Atreus is like,
three times.
Word.
Remember, Artemis is also not happy with Atreus as well.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
oh my God.
Anyway, when Thyestes is cast out, Atreus invites his sons back from Sparta. His sons, by the way, you might recognize their names. His sons are called Agamemnon and Menelaus.
Oh, okay.
A
couple of heartbreakers from those old days.
And they come back with new wives that they got from Sparta. Agamemnon is married to Clytemnestra, and Menelaus is married to Helen.
Oh, yeah.
So we can already see how the multiplication of this curse upon curse upon curse is really going to screw this family up in the future.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But we're not quite finished with Thyestes here. Thyestes runs to the Oracle of Delphi and says, this is horrible. I need vengeance on Atreus, on my brother. And the Oracle of Delphi tells him, look, your sons are dead, but you have a daughter named Pelopea. If you have sex with your daughter, she will give you a son who will kill Atreus.
Don't do that. Don't do that. I was starting to make a joke, and I was just like, whoa, not funny.
Yeah. So,
all right, there's not enough incest in the story yet.
No, not at all. Like, you had to throw more in. I mean, you got like the cannibalism already. Not incest. By the way, I just want to throw out, this family totally makes the Lannisters seem like the Brady Bunch.
Seriously, though.
Yeah. I mean, they're quaint by all regards here. They just, have like normal family drama compared to this. I mean, everyone's cursing everybody, cooking everybody, banging everybody they shouldn't. I have not seen one like proper sexual encounter in this whole thing. It starts with like the guy in the chariot. He's just like, let me bang your wife.
Yeah.
And now all this. Okay, so does he do this?
Yeah, so of course, as you see the story goes, Thyestes has sex with his daughter Pelopea.
Classic.
Yep. And she gives him a child named Aegisthus.
A G thing?
Aegisthus.
Ain't nothing but a G-thing, baby. He's like running on the sand. G-thing, baby. Okay. Aegisthus.
Yeah.
It's tough to say.
Yeah, Aegisthus. But she finds out that his father is also her father, and that freaks her out, and she abandons the child.
She didn't know that?
No. He tricked her.
What?
He tricked her. It was not a consensual encounter.
Well, I guess, if she didn't know that. Either way, if she knew it was her dad, she probably wouldn't be down. If she knew it was her dad and she was down, this family is fucked even worse.
Exactly.
And so she didn't know it was his dad, realizes what she's done, says, sorry, baby, can't deal with ya.
Yeah.
Bye.
So she abandons her son, knowing that this is some, like, abomination or whatever?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
But
poor kid.
I know, right? And the kid did nothing wrong. But King Atreus sees this homeless kid and decides to take him in and raise him as one of his sons. So Agamemnon,
a weird like moment of compassion, just being like, he's a homeless kid, he probably needs a home.
Right, exactly.
Come on, buddy.
Yeah,
maybe I can eat him later.
Yeah, he's just like,
maybe
come
I can find
real quick. How many guys do you think
him.
You could feed? 10, 12? Come on in.
You know where your father is? Does he like human? Because I'd like you to feed him to you.
So he takes him,
takes him in,
homeless,
raises him basically as his own son. He's living under the same roof as Agamemnon and Menelaus there. And then a few years later, Thyestes comes back and basically tells Atreus, guess what, motherfucker? You're raising my kid right now.
Boom.
You know how much it costs to raise a kid? That's on you. That's all that less gold in your pocket. Boom. Just like, he's like, all right. Okay, so go ahead. What's the actual outcome of that?
So Atreus starts acting like an asshole to Aegisthus. Like, not treating him well, like, just, like, pushing him aside, making sure that Menelaus and Agamemnon are getting everything that they need. And finally, it just comes to a day where Aegisthus just can't take it anymore, and he just kills Atreus there.
Dang!
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Oracle was right.
Oracle was right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So...
Mike's just so upset.
So many bad decisions. It's just like I love that Thyestes shows up. He's like, "That's my kid. All right, bye." And he like takes off again. And then like so,
like that's some
Atreus just treats this guy like shit. And like, why would you do that? Knowing how your whole family and your whole history has acted, why would you do anything that might get you revenge killed real quick?
Right.
Fell into his own trap. Okay, so he's toast.
And then Agamemnon and Menelaus find out that their dad's been killed, and they like try to kill Aegisthus. He runs away, basically. They cast him out. He's not coming back at all.
He's just like, ain't nothing but Aegisthus, baby, and he takes off.
Exactly. Runs away. And then Agamemnon takes his father's place as king of Mycenae. Menelaus goes back to Sparta and becomes king of Sparta. And then this little turd named Paris comes along.
Ooh. He's like, hello.
My name's Paris.
Mm-hmm.
And so any hot wives going?
Yep.
Anybody want to be taken away on a boat?
So you probably know where this is going to go. And we obviously do not have time to get into the entire Trojan War. That's probably going to be a topic for another podcast.
We'd love it.
Yeah. But now we know the Trojan War happens.
A whole lot of cannibalism, really.
Yeah, exactly. And basically what happens is basically what happens is Paris takes Helen. In some versions of the story, she goes with him willingly. In other versions of the story, she doesn't. But Paris takes Helen back to Troy, and Menelaus goes to Agamemnon and says, hey, you gotta help me. All of the Achaeans and Greeks have to help me get Helen back. And Agamemnon says, yeah, okay, I'll lead that. But basically, when their ships are ready to sail to Greece, it is way too windy and storming for them to actually do that. And then they go to the Oracle and try to figure out why their ships can't leave. And the Oracle basically says, hey, your dad never sacrificed that lamb to Artemis.
Oh.
She wants her sacrifice. Agamemnon, you have to sacrifice your daughter, Iphigenia.
Jeez.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, Agamemnon has three kids. Iphigenia is the oldest, but he also has two babies, Electra and Orestes.
Electra!
Yeah! And he basically takes Iphigenia from her mother and convinces Iphigenia that she's being taken to marry Achilles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which, you know, like, she's probably like, cool.
That sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. And then...
So is that really buff dude on the beach over there? He's like,
yeah.
He's like, all right, I can take it.
Look at his core. He's got such strong core. Got abs of steel.
Okay, weak ankles, though. Okay, go ahead. Had to be done. So, okay, she's being led off to marry Achilles.
Achilles, but that's not going to happen. They put her on the altar, and Agamemnon sacrifices his daughter so that they can go to Troy to reclaim his brother's wife. And if I was Clytemnestra right here, I'd be a bit pissed off about this.
Yeah, that's your kid.
Why? Why are you being so uptight? God, man, we need better wind conditions. This is crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's going to eat her. That's all I say.
So but she's cool with it?
No. Oh, she is. She's not cool with it.
Okay.
At all.
Good.
And
I feel a curse coming.
Yeah. And so what happens is after 10 years of waging war, by the way, Achilles and Agamemnon start having problems around that moment, but then that kind of explodes in the entirety of the war.
Picture Achilles like shows up at the altar. He's like in a tux, like, I'm ready. And they just like stab. He's just like, whoa, aww, that was my lady. Dude, what are you doing, man?
Love my love.
I tied my first bow tie for this. You fucked up, Agamemnon. We got problems now.
Wait, Achilles, did he think he was going to marry Agamemnon's daughter or no?
No. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Was he just like, that's not cool, man?
Basically, yeah. All right, cool. Yeah. And I don't think Achilles would appreciate being used in that ploy there. But anyway, they do finally, after 10 years, sack Troy. And Agamemnon gets his prize. Menelaus and Helen end up actually living kind of happily ever after, weirdly enough, nice. After that. I mean, kind of. They're never... When you see them in the Odyssey, you're never, like... They're kind of joking, and you're never quite sure how much they love-hate each other there.
Right, right.
But...
I just feel like that whole thing gets brought up in every argument.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you run off to Troy again? He's like, you know, like, I feel like it just always gets brought up.
Yeah, that's never going to go away at all.
She's just always, just reminding him. She's like, whatever, dude. You know, Paris, he got the Supreme D right there. Yeah. You can't bring it like that. You always get out of breath. You're out of shape. Man, honestly, ridiculous. The only thing you did cool was that horse. That was even your idea. And then she's like, what's up? But I guess it's happily ever after for...
As much as a woman in Greek society could have a happily
ever
after.
Pretty much the ideal situation. Yeah, she got to run off and like have some adventures, and now she's just...
Solid five.
She didn't get killed. She didn't get eaten.
That's true.
She didn't get sacrificed. That's a win.
No, having sex with her dad.
A big one.
Yeah, that's...
Who is Zeus?
You know, I mean, you wouldn't think that that would set the, you know, the bar that high, but sadly enough, it does for women in Greek society. But
it's crazy.
Agamemnon's story is not over. So
of course
he comes back triumphant from Troy with this new Trojan princess as his concubine, Cassandra.
Mm.
And he kind of like gets comes back to Mycenae. It's a beautiful sort of return of the king and everything like that. And then when he's reunited with Clytemnestra, he basically tells her, hey, like, can you draw a bath for me and my concubine here? That's going to be great for us. And then Clytemnestra and her new lover, Aegisthus, who's come back.
Oh,
this guy! Aegisthus,
baby!
Yeah.
But Aegisthus... So I'm so stoked he's back. Okay.
They murder Agamemnon and his Trojan princess in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Oh, dude.
That's some sexy.
Is this like Cassandra of like Cassandra's Tears fame? Like the
prophet?
Know.
The prophet?
Yeah, this is the prophet Cassandra.
She had the shittiest life. We can get into that whole thing, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blame Apollo for that one.
Yeah.
There.
But screw you, Apollo.
So the G thing back, all right. That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I can't believe that.
He kind of moved in about like as soon as Agamemnon like set out to sea, because I think Clytemnestra was still kind of had a little bit of a grudge over the whole of murdering my firstborn child thing.
That's fair.
Yep.
That'd do it.
Yeah. So they then set up shop, and Aegisthus becomes king of Mycenae. And they cast out Agamemnon's son, Orestes. He goes to Sparta and runs away. And their daughter, Electra, is just stuck staying at the house, biding her time, waiting for vengeance. Until one day, Orestes comes back. And this is when Clytemnestra and Aegisthus are now a bit older, a bit slower on the draw. And Electra and Orestes conspired to murder their mother and her lover.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And so, to cut the story short, they kill them both. And then Orestes gets tormented by the Furies. And the Furies are like ancient Greek, you know, spiritual tormentors of people that have like done wrong, essentially.
Yeah.
Because in ancient Greek society, you're really not supposed to murder your mother. I mean, I feel like that probably goes for most societies out there.
Yeah.
But like, sure. They had a huge thing against like killing your mother or father. Just parents in general. Don't kill your parents or your kids.
Moral of the story. Yeah.
Exactly. I think, you know, to be honest, I think that's the moral of this entire story is don't murder your kids or parents.
But just now the Furies are showing up? What about when Agamemnon, like, sacrificed his daughter or all the other child killing?
They rolled up. They rolled up and they're like, listen, final warning. You guys need to sort your stuff out. We understand, you know, sometimes things get a little stressful around the holidays, but seriously, chill. And this time they're like, all right, now you're going to get it. It's been years and years of this crap. We're done.
Yeah. So Orestes is kind of driven insane. He leaves Mycenae and goes to Athens. And then the Athenians welcome him in and tell him, basically, you know, you did what was expected of you. Like, it's all right. This one, I mean, don't do it again, but like this one time it's all right. And
see?
Yeah.
That is kind of the ending of the house.
What happens to Electra?
Yeah.
Nothing really. Know. Like she also just kind of like she lives out like kind of a tragic life and then she dies. This
again is probably the best case scenario for a lady of the time.
Everybody's killing their parents or their kids or having sex with their kids or eating their kids in this whole family.
So yes. She's lucky. She just gets to die later in life because that's what happens. I mean, that's like literally, she had probably the best life of any of them.
Yeah, sadly enough.
Just getting
enough.
To wait until she's old enough for her kidneys to fail and she just floats off into the sea.
Yeah.
Well, Menelaus is still hanging out over in Sparta, right?
Yeah, I think personally, I think Menelaus gets off the best of all of them.
That's
what
true.
What about Thyestes? I don't know his name. Yeah, Thyestes.
You know, I'm not sure. He kind of just like peters out after he like comes back and goes like that ha 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 type of
like you had to watch my kid.
The ultimate revenge.
Yeah, exactly.
So he got child off support. Pretty okay too.
Yeah.
Thyestes.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not know that there was like so much, like no wonder the Iliad happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that whole story, then these brothers who are like pretty darn solid as brothers, those two like stick, they're the only ones who I feel like don't turn on each other for the most part.
I mean, compared to Atreus and Thyestes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
They're a united front.
Yeah.
Menelaus like, I gotta go to war and get my wife. And he's just like, Agamemnon's like, I'm down. I'm there.
There does seem to be a little bit of competition between them over like which one of them got to be with Helen.
Sure.
But, you know, other than that, like that's they kind of had each other's backs the entire time.
Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't know that like by the time they go to, you know, wage their war that there's been generations of just horrifying acts going on.
Right.
No wonder this happened. You set that up well, but that's one of the worst families.
Yeah.
They suck at being a family. They also suck at making decisions and do not pay attention to curses like
at all.
They
yeah.
should have never slept because they just assume like someone's going to come kill me. I've screwed over a lot of people. I've done a lot of wrong in my time.
Yeah.
And on the note of doing wrong, I don't want you guys to do wrong. I want you guys to all do right. And that means we got to take care of each other. Okay. And one way that you can help take care of us is by supporting our Patreon page, you guys. If you go to patreon.com/thebrothersmurph, you'll find our page. And you guys can support this show by donating $1, $5, $10,000.
Yeah.
So we can rebuild our own Trojan horse. Would be sweet for us.
True. Eat some children.
And eat some children.
I'm not going to do that.
Okay, just the horse part then.
Case is a Ravenclaw.
Yeah, she's a Ravenclaw, so she's, you know, stands for justice or whatever.
That's you guys, dummies.
Okay, then I don't know what our problem is. But the point is, you can help the show. And if you give us any money, it goes right back into the show. It gets us better equipment, better microphones, helps us feed our guests and continue to get great content for you guys. That's the whole purpose of asking for a little help, is so that we can just give it right back to you guys. So thank you very much for that. Again, that's patreon.com/thebrothersmurph. Thank you once again. So Dylan,
yeah,
I'm almost afraid to ask for a pop quiz because, like, oh. I just, like, name the other person that got killed. But I would love to do the pop quiz if you have some trivia for us. We'd love to just pop take quiz. This a little bit further with a pop quiz.
Pop quiz!
It's a pop quiz. We're still working pop out the jingle. Quiz. We'll get there. So, yeah, it's do you have any questions for us this week? Some trivia?
I do indeed. Yeah.
Ooh.
They are mostly Trojan War based.
Cool. There.
But yeah,
I'm an expert.
Get right into it.
Okay.
Question number one: Agamemnon and Menelaus weren't the first to conquer Troy. Who was the Greek hero that conquered Troy a generation before the Trojan War that we know of?
Is it someone relatively well known?
Yeah, this is someone really like you would know this person.
I always get twisted up between Greek and Roman stuff. I'm just going to say, like, Hercules.
Okay.
Or, yeah.
I mean, Heracles.
I know. So that's what I was about. Thank you. I was going to say, damn, is it Hercules or Heracles? That one.
Theseus was my guess.
Okay.
Richard III.
So.
Who is it?
It is Richard III. No. It is actually Heracles.
Bam, bitches.
Yeah.
And he does Boom. It with only the help of his one cousin, and he does it in a week.
It doesn't.
Suck it.
Yeah. Suck it, Troy.
That's awesome.
In the house.
So Heracles, right? Is Heracles?
It is Heracles.
And they named him after Hera because they knew she'd be pissed about him. So they're like, maybe if we name him after her, she'll be less mad. She wasn't.
Well, apparently it didn't matter that much because he just like handled business. Okay, so Heracles, right on.
Heracles.
Nick was almost there.
Yes.
Cool, so one for me. Boom. What else you got?
So the Trojan War is traditionally thought of as lasting 10 years. But according to Apollodorus, the Trojan War actually took 20 years instead of 10.
Oh.
What do you think those extra years were spent on? That extra 10 years?
Like building funeral pyres, because they're always like so much wood, and like that has to take time.
And apparently, so they only put one person on them at a time.
Yeah. So I'm just going to say just taking care of the dead and like forging coins to put on their eyes.
Okay. That's actually a good guess.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Smithing the coins.
I mean, I don't know. Probably doing some terrible stuff to women for 10 years. That's my guess. Just keep it broad because it's going to cover a lot of what happened, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Inaccurate. Yeah.
Treating women badly is somewhere in there. I'm trying to think of like what would actually be a rational thing. It took him 10 years to build that horse.
Oh, that's actually smart.
Yeah.
Maybe. Dylan?
So the closest is Casey.
Woo!
Because
they do
bad things to women.
Yeah.
It's actually because they accidentally conquered the wrong city.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they went over there, conquered a city really quickly, thought it was Troy, shared all the spoils, got back, and then realized that they had conquered the wrong city and had to go again.
So they got like all the way back to Greece?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Was there just like one jar that said some other place? Like, what the hell is this?
And look at the newspaper the next day. It's like, this other place conquered. And they're like, wait, I thought that was Troy. It's like, no, it was this place. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Gotta go back.
Here's the thing. I can attest to this. These things happen, you guys. I took a trip to Greece, which is fitting for what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I went off to one of the little islands. And my buddy and I were there. We thought we were on a different island until the day we left. Literally thought we were on Mykonos the whole time. We were like, man, yeah, Mykonos, right on. And I get a postcard just to, like, take with me, and it says Syros. I'm looking around, I'm like, why does it say Syros? And then, like, the polite store person said in very broken English, like, because we're at Syros right now. So, I, you know, anyway, it can happen to anyone, guys. I'm just saying.
I did not know that story, and that is... That is my new favorite travel story of all
time. It's one of my prouder moments. We really like Syros, though, by the way. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's a beautiful island.
Okay, did you have a third question, or was that it?
I do have a third question.
Oh, cool.
So Pelops is actually considered to be the founder of a very important Greek tradition. What is it?
Oh,
gods. What could it be?
The Olympics.
Oh, no. Maybe.
Well, that's a good guess. An important Greek tradition. Oh, God. I don't know. Some feast around lamb. is my guess.
I'm going to say that it was killing elephants and, like, making, like, fake ivory dentures and stuff.
Interesting.
Did he have an ivory shoulder?
He did have an ivory shoulder.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah. I'm bringing it back around. Was that right?
So, if you remember, the chariot race that he participates in is in Olympia.
Oh, yeah.
He did start the Olympics.
No!
So yeah. We tied. We all tied.
Nice.
Three for three.
Wait, I have a question. I have a question.
Yeah.
I know one. So we could break the tie. I won't be in it.
Okay.
What tie? I won.
We each
if
have
I
one.
I can answer correct. It counts as more because I never win this game.
No.
No.
Helen and Menelaus had a daughter with a super famous name now. What's her name?
Helenaeus.
Nope.
Menelaus.
Sarah.
Do you know, Dylan? No, hold on.
I do not actually know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Olivia.
Think about my favorite book series ever and who I admire the most.
Hermione?
Yep.
Oh.
That's where Hermione's name comes from.
I say Jane Eyre.
Cool. I'm pretty sure Menelaus didn't even know his daughter's name, so
probably
I don't know how
not.
He would know.
So I win. Yay.
Okay. So we are still deadlocked at one. Whitey.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Stuff. I mean, in a terrifying way.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
As usual, just so much unhappiness.
God,
so much.
So if anyone wants to say, like, oh, man, like, you know, we're in, like, the worst time ever. Are you like, are you sure?
Apparently yeah. not.
Are you sure about that statement? Because even removing the mythical elements, stuff was bad, guys.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just people didn't take care of each other back then.
I would just like to say something inspirational to anyone who might be thinking that they're having a bad day right now.
Please.
Did your day end with you accidentally eating your children? Because
I haven't done that.
It didn't, then I think your day is going to be all right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
God, and with that, what a pleasant note to go off on. So with that, we'll wrap it up, you guys. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you guys learned something. I certainly did. I learned how not to be a family. Certainly. I think we're experts on that. And
we are family.
We are family. If you want to be part of our social media family, you guys can find us on all forms of social media. We got Twitter and all those things at The Brothers Murph. Just search us. You'll find us there. A lot of fun, extra content. And this one, we should be able to pull some good stuff. So check that out. If you guys want to help us with the show, again, you can visit our Patreon. But there's another way that really does help us out a lot. And it's by checking us out on iTunes and giving us a review. It really helps people find our podcast and kind of get the word out about us. So, you know, if you have a moment, it's really easy. Just go on, subscribe to the podcast so those weekly episodes come right to your phone or mobile device or computer. And you can leave us a review. Give us 5 stars if you think we did a 5-star job. And let us know what you like and what we can do better if there's anything. We're always trying to up our game for you guys. So please check us out on iTunes. It really is probably the best way you can support this show. So thank you very much for that. And for now, I have been Michael E. Murphy.
I'm Nick Murphy.
Casey Brown.
Dylan White.
Thank you, guys. And we would like to implore you, as always, to stay curious.